Hello, I'm Will, and I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic addict. Are there any addicts in the room and alcoholics? Lovely. I don't know who Janie was talking about then, but he must be a really nice guy. I'm really grateful to be here, actually. And are there any newcomers in the room? Hey, hey! Lovely, that's what we love. Before I actually walked into this room, I just had to go in the toilet and I had to have a little pray and I had a little bit of a cry because Bournemouth is very, very, very dear to my heart, actually, because of my brother. My brother came down here and detoxed, and I was just thinking about a guy called Joe the Lips. I don't know if anybody knows him in here. Hey, hey, Joe.
Yes, Joe.
Hey, hey. But he detoxed my brother, so if it weren't for Joe, my brother wouldn't have come back and took me to a meeting, so I'm very, very grateful to that man. But they've asked me to talk for 45 minutes. I said, can I do about half hour? Oh, I'm absolutely shitting myself, I ain't gonna lie. We've got a few addicts in my family. I've got my brother, my sister, and me. My sister was injecting heroin and smoking crack. My brother was smoking crack and smoking heroin. And I was just taking a very small amount of cocaine and a very tiny bit of alcohol. And it was only by the grace of God that I managed to get to CA. But I don't know really where to start, really. So I suppose I'll start at the beginning. I was never really feared up as a kid. Always felt pretty happy, comfortable. I had a lovely mum and dad. Never wanted for nothing the whole of my life. Sport rotten I was. Sport rotten. And I was just enjoying life, and my mum and dad's house got broke into when I was about six or seven, and they came in there with guns, and they tried to shoot one of my sisters, and my mum, she pushed my dad out the window, because they was after my dad at the time, and I remember waking up and a policeman come and got me out of my bedroom, and he walked me downstairs, and my mum was crying, all my sisters were screaming. And I really didn't think it affected me in any way at all. And they walked us outside, and the dog was laying with his head blown off, and, you know, you just don't realise at that time how things install a bit of fear in you. And I remember we went and stayed in a hotel for about 6 months. And it was the fucking weirdest hotel I'd ever stayed in the whole of my life. I mean, it was empty. There was nobody there. And it was a bit like that movie, The Shining. I don't know whether you've ever watched that film. Well, picture me. I was riding up and down the corridor on a little fucking trike. And we came out of there after about 6 months, and I developed this stammer. I actually thought I called it off the guy that owned the hotel, because he used to stammer. I thought, fucking hell, I must have called it off of him. And I started going back to school, and when I went back to school, I was completely full of fear, and I didn't know why. I just felt like I just didn't fit in, and I really didn't fit in. Because I couldn't talk to anyone. I'm dyslexic as well. So I couldn't understand what the teachers were talking about. I definitely fitted in for CA, I think. And I remember there was this girl at school. This is when I moved up to the senior school anyway. And I felt the same there. I felt uncomfortable. And I remember seeing this girl, And I remember looking at her, and I thought, fucking hell, I really love her. I thought, I really love you. I want to marry you. And I was thinking over in my head how I was going to ask her out. How shall I ask her out? All right. Will you go out with me? And I can remember walking up to this girl, and I've just got it playing over in my head. Will you go out with me? And I walked up to her, and I just went, and she looked at me like I was a fucking lunatic. And her head cocked over to one side like that. And she looked at me and she went, you're fucking divvy, mate. And I just wanted the fucking world to open up and swallow me. But that never happened. So I did what I do best. I ran. Because I was full of fear. And I just ran out of that school. And I said, you're never going to go back to that school ever again. Because you can never face anybody in that school. Yeah, because I know exactly what they're going to be thinking about me. Because I'm good like that. And I could never face that girl again. And I never went back to that school. And I wound up going to a P&A centre for persistent non-attenders. And for anybody that don't know what that is, that's a school for people that don't want to go to school. And that was a really nice school because there was loads of people there like me. Well, in fact, there was about 6 or 7 people there like me. And I could take my dog to school. I could play table tennis. We had the first ever computer. I didn't know how to work it, but I loved it there. I really, really loved it. The teachers were all nice. And I felt really comfortable. I really did. Until this new girl started. And she was even better looking than the other one. So I said to my mate Gary, I said, here, Gary. I said, I really fancy her. I said, she's lovely, isn't she? He went, yeah. Yeah, she's lovely. I said, cool, yeah. I said, I love her. I said, I really... He said, love her? I went, oh, no, I don't really love her. He said, well, why don't you ask her out? So he said, if you like her. So I said, well, you know why I can't ask her out, Gary? I've already told you what happened. So he said, come out at break. And I went out at break with Gary. And Gary rolled a joint. And I'd never smoked a fag in my life. I'd never even smoked a joint. In fact, I'd never smoked anything. And he rolled this joint, and he said, hey, oh, mate, spark that up. And I just put it straight in my mouth, and I went, boom. And I lit it, and I took a puff of this joint, and I kid you not, yeah, I went green. I went white. Right? And then I took another puff. And about 20 minutes later, I walked straight up to this girl. And I went, will you go out with me? And I never stuttered once. And she went, no, I fucking won't. But I didn't run away. No, I didn't run away. Because it gave me what's called a sense of ease and comfort. That's what it did for me. It took away that fear. You know, at that particular moment in time, something happened to me that was indescribably wonderful. And as a result of me taking a puff of that joint, I carried on using for 22 years. And I couldn't stop. And there's a fantastic bit in this book. I'm just going to read it. It's on page 24, and it says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and the humiliation of even a week or a month ago. And what that's actually talking about is a mental blank spot. And I had one of them for 22 years. Because the first time I stuck alcohol in my body, I said to myself, you're never fucking doing that again, mate. And the next week I did it, and I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again. Until 22 years later, I'm sitting in my wife's flat, that I used to call my flat, yeah, because when I brung anyone home, I'd go, come back to my place, mate. Hey. And I was sat in the corner, my mouth was black, I was very gaunt, I was very underweight, and I'm quite a thin chap now, so you can imagine what I was like when I was using. And I can remember my wife and my daughter walking in, and my wife said, that's it, I'm done. She said, I'm going. And this is her flat, and she's leaving me in the flat. That's how fucking bad I was. And I held up a bottle of wine and went, it's your loss. I was really sick. And 6 months prior to that happening, 12 weeks prior to that happening, I knocked on my brother's trailer door because he was using heroin and crack. And I said, look, mate, I said, if you don't get some help, I said, you're going to die. And he basically just looked at me and said, why don't you fuck off? And then my phone rang, and it was a guy called George. And this geezer called George, he said, listen, Will, he said, I see your brother yesterday, and he looks like he's fucking dying. So I said, he is, George. I said, he is dying, mate. So he said, would your brother go to a rehab? So I said to George, I said, well, not if I asked him, George. I said, he just told me to fuck off. So I said, why don't you give him a ring and ask him? So he rung my brother, told him about this rehab in Bournemouth. And my brother wound up going to this rehab. And all through that 12 weeks, I was trying to get myself clean and sober, or just trying to get myself off the drugs. That's what I was trying to do. Oi, oi. Someone's had a spiritual experience. I've been rocketed. So in these 12 weeks, I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to stop using and drinking. And I can remember saying to my wife, I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to go down a pub and I'm going to tell everyone at the pub that I'm not going to be drinking or using anymore. She said, what a fantastic fucking idea. Yeah. So I said, I'll be back soon. So I go to the pub, and all the while I'm going to the pub, I'm just playing it over in my head. You're going to have a Coke. You're going to have a Coke. You're going to have a Coke. And I'm walking up the stairs to the pub, and I'm playing it over. All you're going to have is a Coke, mate. All you're going to have is a Coke. And I walk up to the bar, and the bar woman looks at me, and she goes, hello, Will. What do you want? I said, I'll have a port and brandy, please. And that is that mental fucking blank spot, mate. Right there and then, I weren't going to have a drink, but I was fucking powerless. And that happened for 12 weeks. And I can remember going back to the yard, and I can remember I didn't realise it was my brother. There was a car, it was pulling in the yard, and it was like a fucking light was shining on the motor. I was probably still out my nut at the time. And I'm looking, and I can see this geezer in the car, and he's all tanned up and looks real. I thought, fucking hell, that's my brother. I thought, I can't believe it. Fucking hell, all his eyes were white. And he pulls up, and I said, fucking hell, mate. I said, you look well. So he said, yeah. He said, you look like shit. I said, I feel like shit. So I said, what the fuck have you done? He said, I've done the 12 steps. So I said, what's that, mate, a dance? Because I've been to a few rave parties. So he said, no, he said, it ain't a dance, mate. He said, but if you want to find out exactly what it is, he said, you can drive me to a meeting tonight. And that's exactly what I did. I drove my brother to a meeting. And I can remember walking into this meeting, and I was shitting myself. I was so full of fear. My heart was beating 110 miles an hour. And I can remember going in there, and the first thing I did, I headed straight for the kitchen. And there was an old woman in there, and she was making these teas. She looked straight at me and she said, "Would you like a cup of tea, love?" I went, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And she made me this cup of tea and she handed it to me. And when she gave me this tea, she said, "You've got to give it away to keep it, love." And I thought, she must want to sleep with me. Or she must want some of my money that I ain't got. Because that's where my head was at. I was so fucked. So I remember sitting down, and all the chairs were in a circle, and it's going around the room. I am so-and-so, I'm an addict. I am so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. And I looked at my brother, and I said, "What do I have to say, mate?" And he looked at me and said, "All you got to do is say you're an addict." And I looked at him, I thought, fuck it now. And I've got a stutter. So I just said, "Oh, I'm Will and I'm an addict," and I put my head down. And there was a geezer who was doing a share there. And I know some people say, "Well, I went to this meeting and I heard this geezer do a fantastic share and it fucking blew my mind." I never heard one word what this guy said who was sharing that day. Not one word. Because I was too busy looking at my brother. Because something had happened to him, mate, that I couldn't put my finger on, you know. Something had changed inside of him. His roots had grasped a new soil. And that was very attractive to me, you know what I mean? I'm looking at my brother, not meaning that I wanted to sleep with him or anything, obviously. But I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, fucking hell, mate, I want some of what he's got. Hey, hey! Fucking right. And I remember us going to a meeting the next night and going to a meeting the following night. And at this particular meeting, there was a geezer walking about with one of these. And some geezer walked up to me and said, "Stay away from him, he's a fucking nutcase." I thought, right, I will. I'll stay away from that geezer. Anyway, about 5 minutes later, he walked straight up to me. He went, "Are you a newcomer, mate?" I went, "How do you know?" He said, "How would you like to come for a coffee after the meeting?" I said, "I don't do coffee, mate." I thought, fuck him, I'm not going for a coffee with this geezer. No way. So I ran, I literally ran up to my brother and said, "Here, mate," I said, "some fucking weirdo has just asked me if I want to go for a fucking cup of coffee." I said, "I ain't fucking going." So he said to me, he said, "That's what people do here, mate." He said, "We go to the meeting after the meeting." I went, "The meeting after the meeting?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "We go for a coffee." He said, "We have a chat and a talk." He said, "That's what we do here." So I said, "Well, I ain't fucking going." So anyway, after the meeting, I winds up going. And I'd never drunk a cup of coffee in my whole entire fucking life. And he said, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" I went, "Oh, yes, please, yeah." Because I'm a bit of a people pleaser, you see. And so I'm drinking this coffee. Fucking hell, what a load of shit. It's fucking got a right terrible taste. So he said, "You know what's wrong with you, mate?" I said, "No, what's wrong with me?" I said, "If I fucking knew what was wrong with me, I wouldn't fucking be here, would I?" He said, "You suffer from what's called an obsession of the mind." So I said, "What the fuck's that?" He said, "You can't stop thinking about alcohol and drugs." I said, "Tell me something I don't know, mate." Yeah, I said, "Because I fucking know that already." He said, "Are you restless?" I went, "Phew." I said, "Yeah, I am." "Yeah." So he said, "Are you irritable?" I went, "Irritable?" I said, "I'm the most irritablest person you've ever met in your fucking life, mate." Yeah. And then he said to me, he said, "Are you discontent?" Now, me being dyslexic, I went, "Discontent?" I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Not happy with fuck all in your life? I went, that's me. I said, I ain't happy with nothing. I thought, fucking hell, he must know me. Then he told me, he said, you're allergic to alcohol and drugs. I said, no. I said, not me. No, no, no. So I said, I've never come up with a rash in my life, mate. Ever. He said, not in that sense. He said, your allergic reaction happens inside of you. He said, you can't see it. He said, you can only feel it. And it's coupled with what's called a phenomenon of craving. I went, what the fuck is that? He said, well, basically, he said, when you're irritable, restless, and not happy with fuck all, I said, yeah. He said, you put a drink or drug inside of you and it gives you what's called a sense of ease and comfort. I went, what? I said, like, when you walk in a pub and have a drink and you go, cool, them cunts would drive me up the wall and you go, oh. He went, that's it, mate. He said, you know, like when you have a line and you go, oh, thank fuck for that, them cunts were driving me mad. I said, yeah. He said, that triggers the allergy, sets off the phenomenon of craving, and you can't stop. And I went, wow. See, because it was like the penny dropped. This man spoke my language. In fact, it was the loudest, biggest penny that I'd ever heard in my entire fucking life. Because it went, clang, 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 clang. And I went, well, is that why I can't just have one pint of beer? So he said, you got it. Oh, is that someone's phone? Hang on a minute, I'm going to put it back to snooze. That's Andy. And it was like the biggest penny dropped in the whole entire, my whole entire fucking life. And this guy spoke my language. And he shared some experiences about himself, scrapes he'd been in and different situations. And I shared some shit about myself. And I didn't know at the time, but this guy was 12-stepping me. And this guy told me that he was doing a share the next night and would I like to come and hear him? And I remember going to that meeting. I said to my brother, I said, we've got to go to that fucking meeting. I said, we've got to go there, mate. I said, he knows what he's fucking talking about, this geezer. And we went to this meeting, and this geezer was talking about, he was talking about the 12 steps. He was talking about recovery. He was talking about helping other people. He was talking about spiritual experiences. And in fact, he actually was speaking about having a life beyond his wildest dreams. Hey. And I actually thought, I was so fucking sick, I actually thought he said, having a wife beyond your wildest dreams. Thank God I'm married now. But I thought to myself, do you know what? I thought, I'm in. And I remember going outside after he'd stopped sharing, and I was waiting for this geezer to walk out of the meeting. And I walked straight up to him. And I said, here, mate. So I said, would you help me? So I said, would you sponsor me? And he said, are you willing to go to any lengths? I said, I'll do anything you want, yeah, because I was fucking desperate, mate. I was broken. I was. I'd had that internal snap, mate. You know, G-O-D. I had the gift of desperation. And this guy, he went in and got me a blue book, just like that one. In fact, a little bit smaller than that one. It got me a blue book and told me to ring him at 9 o'clock the next morning. And I rung him at 9 o'clock the next morning. In fact, I went round his flat that morning and we started on the steps immediately. And I tell you what, mate, it's mind fucking blowing. I walked into a meeting 3 weeks later and I am a light. I'm fucking on fire. And I'm in this meeting. And I said, here. I said, I'm Will. I said, I'm an alcoholic addict. I said, you never believe what I was doing this morning. And they all looked at me and I went, I said, I was feeding little ants in my mum's back garden. And they all looked at me like I was a fucking nutter. I said, I went out in my mum's garden this morning and I bent down and I was feeding little tiny ants on the floor. In fact, I went into my mum's kitchen and got some sugar out of her bowl and took it out there and fed them. They thought I was fucking bananas. And this old boy walked up to me after the meeting and he went, you're on a pink fluffy cloud, mate. And it too shall pass. He was a right miserable old cunt, I'll tell you. And I walked up to my sponsor and I said, here. I said, some miserable old git's just walked up to me, yeah? And said that I ain't going to feel like this no more. That all this is going to stop. He said, no way, mate. He said, turn to the back of your book, page 567. Spiritual experiences and spiritual awakenings as a result of working your 12 steps, mate. He said, you're having a fucking spiritual awakening. I went, am I? He went, yes, you are. He said, have you ever fucking fed them ants before? I went, no. He said, have you ever noticed them before? I went, no. He said, you're seeing things, mate, you never have done. You know, he said, your blinkers have been on, mate, for 22 years. He said, you're waking up. I went, fucking hell. Well, I went in that meeting the week after, and I went, I'm Will, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm an addict, and I'm on no fucking pink fluffy cloud. I'm having a fucking spiritual awakening as a result of working the steps. Oh, yeah. Now, God bless him, that old geezer. He might not have ever worked the steps, so he didn't know any different. But my life got rocketed. Got fucking rocketed into the fifth dimension, mate. I'm telling you. Marching. And I just can't believe how much of a fantastic life I've got today as a result of this stuff. Not my stuff, this stuff. You know, having a sponsor, going through the 12 steps of Cocaine Anonymous, getting connected to a power greater than myself that can direct my thinking, having a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps and giving this stuff away. It's changed my life, completely turned my life around. You know, my wife has a husband today. My daughter has a dad. My mum and father have a son. My sisters have a brother. And my brother has a brother. You know, you can't get that anywhere else, mate. You can only get it in the rooms of fucking Cocaine Anonymous. That's a facto fucking mundo. And I'll tell you how I like to sum this program up, yeah, because I've probably rattled on for fucking ages. Because I've had about 4 or 5 coffees. I love coffee now. The only way I can sum this program up is, I don't know whether you've ever watched the Antiques Roadshow, have you? Come on, fuck me, we've all watched the Antiques Roadshow. Has anyone ever watched Flog It? Yeah, here's another one. I knew you'd get it. I can remember watching Flog It. No, hang on. The Antiques Roadshow. And there was a geezer on there, and he had this Ming vase. And he said, this is a Ming vase from the Ming dynasty, and I've never seen anything quite like it in my life. He said, as a matter of fact, it's absolutely extraordinary. And I'm watching this program on the telly and I'm thinking, fucking hell, mate. I don't think he's worried what fucking dynasty it's from. He just wants to know how much fucking money it's worth. Because I'm very good at knowing what other people are thinking, you see. Can you identify? And after about 10 minutes, he said, well, I suppose you're wondering how much it's worth. And he says, well, as a matter of fact, it's absolutely priceless. And that's exactly what this is, ladies and gentlemen. It's priceless. It's for free. And it's on offer today in this room for nothing. Where can you walk out the doors, mate? Out of these doors where someone wants to give you something for free. Snooze. You tell me, and I'll fucking come with you. Because I'm a right greedy cunt. Yeah? It's only in the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous. So if you're a newcomer, or if you're even a grumpy old-timer, welcome. Get back on board. You have struck gold. That's 100,000,000%. And I just want to say one more thing. I now know what that old lady meant when she offered me that cup of tea. And she said, you've got to give it away to keep it, love. It's not that she wanted to sleep with me. She's talking about this beautiful program. And that's what we have on offer here today. So I just want to thank every one of you for being here today. And I want to thank God and everybody that's put this meeting on. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you.